1, please. Proverbs chapter 1. Proverbs chapter 1, starting at verse 5. Let's pray together. Father, we come before you in the name of the Lord Jesus Christ. We pray that as we look at Scripture and the application of it, that each heart might see it and remember and be able to teach others, Lord, we pray in Jesus' name. Amen. Proverbs 1:5, a wise man will hear, will increase learning. A man of understanding shall attain unto wise counsels. To understand a proverb and the interpretation, the words of the wise and their dark sayings, the fear of the Lord is the beginning of knowledge, but fools despise wisdom and instruction. We start out by saying a wise man will hear. You know, you can't hear if you're not here. Now, how important is it to attend all services? You know, this is not some legalism to say it's important to attend all services. How important is it to attend all services? Well, you know, this message is for you to know so well that you can instruct the careless. That's why this message tonight is for you. You who are faithful, it's for you. So you can instruct the careless. You know, the general rule of thumb for Christians in our country is that if a church has 100 attending on a Sunday morning, you could expect that 50 will come back for the evening service. And then for the midweek service, you could expect that 25 would attend the midweek service. As a rule of thumb, you know, year after year, you ask anybody, you ask evangelists, and people will say that. Now, the drop-off gets even greater in these big bus ministry churches where numbers are everything. And if they were to get 1,000 people to attend on a Sunday morning in one of those bus ministry churches, they'd probably see around 200 people at night. And midweek service maybe 75. And we can make some general conclusions from this. Generally speaking, 50% think that one dose of religion on Sunday morning is plenty enough. 75% think that, you know, one day a week is more than enough to be in the house of God. Now, what's wrong with that thinking? You know, I'm going to show you what's wrong with that thinking so that you, when the time is right, can show others, others who are careless, others who don't think they need to attend all the services. The reason that you must do that is because I don't usually have that opportunity. I don't have the opportunity to instruct the careless about their attendance. And I'll tell you why. This illustration. When I started the work back in 1971, we were in a rented building. I was working at Spalding Youth Center at the time, and I would get up early on Sunday morning with another man, and we would go to the building that we rented. We would clean up the mess from the night before, and then we would set up. We'd set up the chairs, and he had built some curtains and dividers because the building was so big. You know, we were just a little group in this big echoing building. So he built some dividers with curtains to absorb some of the sound. And then after we had it all set up, I'd go back home. I would shower, I'd get dressed, and then I'd go out on the road and I'd pick up neighborhood children and bring them to the services. When the service was over, you know, around noontime, we would break down the seats and put the dividers back in the closet and go home. And we didn't have an evening service to start with. You know, we could get maybe 15 people to come out in the morning, including some of the youngsters that I would pick up. And, you know, we had to steady my family of three, another elderly family. There were two of them in their 70s, and the other family of four. And this other family of four, they come to me and they say, "We really miss a Sunday evening service." So I started a Sunday evening service, and they showed me they really miss a Sunday evening service. Are you with me here? You with me? And they missed, and they missed, and they missed a lot. Those who so much wanted it. And so, you know, I thought I'd better preach on faithfulness. Faithfulness to all the services. No, I put together a message on faithfulness. And, yeah, you guessed it. They weren't there. I didn't get to that message either. Now, I learned from that. I learned from that as a young preacher. And I learned from that that I would preach what the Lord put on my heart in my study during the week. He knew who was going to be there on Sunday. I didn't. So I just learned that I would preach what I ought to preach and let the Lord take care of the rest. Therefore, because this message that I'm about to give now would be very, very fitting to preach on a Sunday morning, but because the person who probably needed it the most wouldn't be there anyway, saying, "I'm preaching it tonight," this message is for you. It's for you to give then the information that I give you tonight is for you so that you can give this privately at the correct opportunity to the person that needs to know it. So here we go. Why should a child of God be at every service? Number one, forsake not. I'm going to give you four things. We'll start with F. Forsake not. Now the Bible's clear. It says, forsake not the assembling of yourselves as the manner of some is. The Bible says we're not to forsake. When God's people assemble, we're not to forsake it. Now the carnal excuse could be, well, you know, I obey that. You know, I go Sunday morning. You know, it doesn't say how many times a week. Right? That verse doesn't say how many times a week. It's not as if I don't go. I don't forsake it because I do go, even though it might be only Sunday morning. The Bible says, forsake not the assembling of yourselves together as the manner of some is. You know, the correct interpretation would be, if the local church is assembling, because that's what the word church means, it means assembly, called out ones, then you should be assembling with them. And you shouldn't forsake it if the church is assembling. That's number one. Why should a child of God be at every service? Number one, forsake not. God said forsake not. Number two, faithfulness. You know, at your judgment time, when you report on your life, that's what you do at your judgment time. If you're saved, and even if you're not saved, there are different judgments, but you're still going to report about your life. You will report about your life. And at your reporting time, you would like to hear the Lord Jesus Christ say to you, "Well done, thou good and faithful servant." So the Lord put great emphasis on faithful. God loves faithfulness. And when he hands out authority in the kingdom, he said, you know, you were faithful in a little, you know, be thou authority over five cities. The Lord emphasizes faithfulness to him. Why should a child of God be at every service? Number one, forsake not. Number two is faithfulness. Number three is first. Seek ye first the kingdom of God, his righteousness, and all these things will be added unto you. Now, what is the kingdom of God? The kingdom of God is all the saved. It's all the saved. And the obedient saved gather in the local church. Now, what are these things that are added? You know, everything that you need in life. That means you don't need to work when there are services. You have a promise that if you seek first the kingdom of God and his righteousness, all these things will be added unto you, everything that you need in life. Well, how do you show that you seek first the kingdom of God and His righteousness? It's not by words that say, I put Jesus first. It's by behavior. You show that you put Him first when you're at the service. You say the service is more important than work. The service is more important than TV. The service is more important than anything else, because the service is where two or three are gathered together in my name, there am I in the midst. That's where Jesus is. And when I seek first the kingdom of God and His righteousness, that means that the service is more important than anything else in life. And I trust God that He'll take care of the rest if I put Him first. So how do you demonstrate that you indeed seek the Lord first? Well, you're at every service, not somewhere else. So we have forsake not, we have faithfulness, and we have putting the Lord first. And then number four, this is where some people can get their feelings hurt. And their feelings are going to be hurt by Almighty God. Though they usually blame the messenger, don't they? All right. Number four is fool. F-O-O-L, fool. And let's read these verses again. Proverbs 1, 5 to 7. A wise man will hear and will increase learning. Okay, how can you hear if you're not here, right? A wise man will hear and will increase learning. And a man of understanding shall attain unto wise counsels. Where are you going to get the learning and the wise counsels? Where does the wise counsels come from? It comes from the teaching in the local church. Verse 6, to understand a proverb and interpretation and the words of the wise and their dark sayings. It's a wise man will hear so he can understand those things. Verse 7, now watch this verse 7. The fear of the Lord is the beginning of knowledge, but fools despise wisdom and instruction. Now, where do you get the wisdom and the instruction? You get in the local church. The Bible says fools despise it. So fools say, I don't need to go. I don't need to hear it. You know, this is elementary. It really is. It's elementary. The Bible says that evangelists, pastors, and teachers are given what? For the perfecting of the saints. You know that verse? You know where that verse is? Somebody tell me. Book? What book? Ephesians. Right? Do you know the verse, Jesse? You know the book, though. All right. Ephesians 4. You get 11 and 12. He gave some evangelists and pastors and teachers for what? For the perfecting of the saints. Now, follow me through. Those who are given for the perfecting of the saints, right? Evangelists, pastors, and teachers. Those determined, I don't know when they determined this, but they determined this, that four Bible teaching and preaching times a week would be good for the perfecting of the saints. That's what they determined. It's been consistent through the churches, through the years, as long as I can remember. As long as I can remember that if you go to a Bible preaching church, it's true to the Word of God, on a Sunday morning it'll be a Sunday school and then a preaching service. A Sunday evening and a midweek service. Four times. You know, where'd that come from? I don't know. I assume it came from the Lord because He laid it on the heart of those who were the leaders to instruct the people of God. And as long as I can remember, that's been the case. Now, it may be that in the mid-1800s that Sunday schools were started then. It may be. I don't remember exactly when they were started. So you have for, you know, more than a century, at least, that it was determined by those that God ordained to bring about the perfection of the saints that there would be that many services. You see, God is not speaking to the carnal Christian at home who thinks, you know, one time is enough for me. One time is all that I can handle. No, God's servants, I didn't invent it. I'm just doing what others have done, you know, down through time. You could say, well, that's tradition. Well, it is tradition. Not all tradition is bad. You know, tradition for tradition's sake can be bad, but God's people determined that that was good to do. To have four services a week in which you could get instruction in the Word of God. The person who does not attend all four and either serve in those or take in everything that's taught, the person who does not attend is incomplete. Their life, their Christian life is incomplete at best, and a fool at worst. You say, preacher, you calling 50% of the Christians in Bible-believing churches in this nation fools? Well, the Lord said it in verse 7, the fear of the Lord is the beginning of knowledge, but fools despise wisdom and instruction. So those that say, you know, I don't have to be at the Sunday evening service and hear any more. I don't have to hear any more of the Bible on Sunday evening. And I don't have to have the midweek service. I don't have to hear that. The Bible says, fools despise wisdom and instruction. Where do you get the wisdom and instruction from? You get it from the local church where God ordained that evangelists, pastors, and teachers are perfecting the saints. Where do they perfect the saints? In the local church. And so, a person who does not go to all the services is incomplete. They would be perfected because they would be taught all they need to know and apply to their life. That can't be done in 10 minutes. You need to hear truth over and over and over again, or you are incomplete. Now, let me give you an obvious example here, the most obvious of examples of how this shakes out in practice. Let's say you got a young woman and she wants a boyfriend. She looks around the church and she doesn't see anybody that looks interesting or that is interested in her. And so, you know, she goes to a party with a friend on Sunday afternoon, and that party will just kind of spill over, so she will miss the evening service. And while she's at that party on Sunday afternoon, she is sexually attracted to a lost boy, and he to her. Now, the service that she happens to miss when she decided to go to the party instead, the pastor is preaching a convincing message on why not to be unequally yoked together with unbelievers. He's preaching a message that he hopes will scare every young woman so much so that she wouldn't think of doing a thing like that. And he teaches, don't marry the lost. Of course, she went to the party. She didn't hear. She got attracted to the guy. You know, she secretly sees him for a while. She eventually marries him. Because even though she kind of knows in the back of her mind that you're not supposed to marry the lost, she didn't hear that message. You get under conviction, and so she marries, and she has misery for the rest of her life. Well, you know what? After a while, she divorces him because she's so miserable, and she thinks that's going to help, you know. And everything gets worse then. And then she marries another guy just like him. And, you know, I just said that, and I don't know how many times it's happened, but it's happened, believe me. And the Lord says, fools despise wisdom and instruction. The person that does not want to be at the preaching and teaching services, the Lord calls a fool because they're despising wisdom and instruction. And of course, you know, we could throw this into, you can be a fool at the service. You can. You can be a fool at the service. How? By despising wisdom and instruction that's preached. And how many people do you think do that? God calls them a fool. You know, I I gave this illustration last night, and I don't know if it put anybody in shock, but you know, I suppose that before I came to the service, I had a fight with my wife, and I was really, really angry. And no preacher who's true to the Word of God wants to get in the pulpit and be angry, okay? But suppose I was really angry. Couldn't get it settled. You ever been in a fight where it accelerates? Well, it didn't happen tonight. Believe me, it didn't happen tonight. I should have thanked her for the meal, but I was thankful for the meal, okay? And there wasn't any fight. This is just for purposes of illustration. It could happen. You know, you could say, you know what? That preacher is not in the spirit to preach the Word of God. But if I open the Word of God, and I give you the Word of God, and I give you the proper application, even if I'm not in the spirit and the Lord has to deal with me, you see, you still have to take it in. If it's right, you still take it in. And say, something wrong with the preacher. I can find some fault with the preacher so I don't have to sit and listen to this. If it's in the Word of God and it's correctly applied, and then if you despise that wisdom, if you despise that instruction, God calls you a fool. You know, you can't hear if you're not here. And some who are here won't hear. Now, let me give you a couple other scriptures here. Matthew 11. I just want to show the tremendous emphasis on this. Matthew chapter 11 and verse 15. It's the Lord Jesus Christ speaking. And you know, he's been speaking for a while, and in the middle of his speaking, he says, "He that hath ears to hear, let him hear." You know, if they weren't there to hear, they didn't hear it, did they? Jesus gave out all this wisdom in chapter 11, but if a person wasn't there to hear it, they didn't get it. And he says, "He that hath ears to hear, let him hear." That's how important it is to hear the word of the Lord, not to go on your own wisdom. And then turn over to Revelation chapter 2 and verse 7. Revelation 2, verse 7. Now the Lord is finishing off the last book of the Bible here, and he's speaking to the churches. In verse 7, he says, "He that hath an ear, let him hear what the Spirit saith unto the churches." Again, it's the same phrase, if you have an ear to hear. That's how important it is. It's so important that the next six churches, he says the same thing again. "He that hath an ear to hear, let him hear what the Spirit saith unto the churches." It's important to hear, but you can't hear if you're not here. And that's the most important reason why you are to be faithful to all the services. Number one is forsake not, that's clear. Number two is faithfulness, it's a test of faithfulness. Number three, first, it shows you're putting the Lord first. Number four, the Lord says it's a fool who despises instruction. It's a fool. That's pretty heavy stuff. I hope that you then can pass this on to those who need it. You've got the four-point outline right in on a fly leaf of your Bible. When you're dealing with somebody, you can tell them who in their ignorance think it's all right to be careless about the things of God and get there when they very well please. All right, let's pray. Lord, we pray that God's people might be strengthened to strengthen others as the Word of God teaches, that folks may be complete in the Lord Jesus Christ. Bless us now as we continue in Jesus' name. Amen.